that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're taking the opportunity to continue to work with them. We know that there's been some plays where they've been a little bit of a struggle for them. With another left-hander on the mound tonight against a predominantly right-handed hitting lineup, more of a ground ball pitcher. Yeah, so I guess there's some strategy involved with that, certainly.
So now I'm confused. This is not that that's any sort of piece of news for you. I'm easy to confuse, but now I'm extremely confused. That was John Farrell from Saturday, the cut you just heard. Okay, that was Farrell from Saturday explaining why Pablo Sandoval was not in the lineup against Justin Verlander, who was a right-handed pitcher. Last night, the Tigers threw a lefty, so Sandoval was on the bench. This is the sort of the new model or the new normal with the Red Sox, that Sandoval would play against righties, not against lefties. But tonight, another right-hander from the Phillies, and Sandoval's on the bench again. So this is now 3 days in a row, two against right-handed starters, that Pablo Sandoval has not been in the starting lineup for the Red Sox. That's where we're going to begin tonight, because I thought the Red Sox were getting close to releasing Pablo, and now it doesn't feel that way, but I do have a solution for them, which we'll get to here in a minute. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll begin taking your calls right away and over the course of the next hour. Red Sox open a two-game series against the Phillies tonight. It's really a four-game series, two in Boston, two in Philly. So it's the same opponent, home and home. You'll get Philadelphia for four nights. The Red Sox should win three of them, if not all four. They certainly should win both games in Boston. But again, that's a bigger picture story. I do have a question for you on the Red Sox bigger picture, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show as well, but I want to start with Sandoval. Just a quick reminder that the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by GilletteOnDemand.com. GilletteOnDemand.com. Service now offered by the folks at Gillette. And with Father's Day coming up, you might want to check it out because it's a good thing to get for Dad. Believe me, as I tell you, we all know. We all appreciate a good shave. 617-779-0985. So we start with Sandoval. And this, to me, goes back to Friday night. Okay, it goes back to Friday night. In that game against Detroit, Sandoval had three balls hit his way that you could argue that a slightly above average third baseman or better would turn into outs, would turn all three plays into outs. Sandoval turned none of them into outs. And the last one in particular was downright embarrassing. Victor Martinez at the plate hit a dribbler toward third. And again, listen to the broadcasters. Listen to Dave O'Brien. Listen to Dennis Eckersley did the game on Friday night. Listen to their sort of commentary. And I always say pay particular attention to the play-by-play guy. Okay, because the analyst is supposed to criticize the player. And Eck is good at doing that. And I'm not taking a shot at Eck. He's one of the few, I think, local broadcasters that will say, boy, that's a horrible play. Okay? But the play-by-play guy oftentimes will point out little things like, well, he's late getting to it. Or, you know, that should give you some insight as to the play. Okay? Here's what the ground out by Victor Martinez sounded like on Friday night.
The 2-1. A little chopper to third base, softly hit. Sandoval will charge it. Took a long time to get rid of it. It's off the glove of Moreland and rolls away. And Martinez is going to be safe at first base.
Did Moreland miss that ball?
It was a strange play, wasn't it?
What, he had all day, and Sandoval knew he had all day to throw out Victor because he can't run a lick. And what happened on this play? I guess he just couldn't get there. Bad throw. Off his glove. I thought that was just going to be an easy out. He had time. Kind of pulled the throw a little bit. And
now they call it a base hit, but that's a poor throw.
It's not just a poor throw. It was a poor play all around. All the way around for Pablo Sandoval. He didn't get to it quick enough. And again, if you heard O'Brien at the beginning, right? He basically implied he's slow to get rid of it. He was slow to get there. Slow to get there, slow to get rid of it. Victor Martinez beat that ball out. Victor Martinez, believe when I tell you, Murray, you could run on your hands faster than Victor Martinez can run to first base on his feet. Faster. Victor Martinez is slow as God knows what. And so Sandoval now out of the lineup 3 days in a row, which brings me to this question. Can someone out there please tell me if Rafael Devers can play defense? Those of you who have gone to games at Portland and seen Devers play, maybe you've seen him play somewhere else. Can he play defense? Please. If you've seen him play, I want to hear from you. Someone tell me if Rafael Devers can play defense. He's 20 years old. He's been a double A for half the season, or all season rather, but they're, you know, almost a halfway through now. And Devers' OPS is over 900. He has 10 home runs. He's hitting over 300. He bats left-handed. If the kid can play defense at all, and someone please call if you've seen him and let me know. I want to hear from you. Please tell me, because I think it's time. I do, and I'm early. I admit, I didn't think you were going to see him. I didn't think the Red Sox would even consider it, and maybe they won't. I'm not telling you I have inside info, because I don't. But what are you waiting for? Can we cut Pablo's ass already and be done with it? I mean, if it's reached the point where the Red Sox are sitting Pablo Sandoval on the bench and working with him on his defense while keeping him on the active roster, then it's just not worth it. Because I only think it's going to get worse. Remember, the plan with Pablo at the beginning was that he would play third base for a couple of years and then maybe shift to DH after Ortiz was gone. The problem is that Hanley's now, and Hanley can't play in the field or doesn't want to or whatever. So now you have Pablo, can't play defense, can't hit, and it doesn't feel like he's going to get better. Why is he here still? Can we let him go already? Release Sandoval, call up Devers, and let's see what it looks like. And if it doesn't work with Devers, put Marrero at third and let him stay there and at least make the plays. Because to me, what's going on at third base right now is a calamity. Nonetheless, incredibly, do you know the Red Sox have the seventh best record in the major leagues? Seventh best record in the major leagues. So Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray, I actually asked this question on Twitter today. I'll give you the poll results here maybe in the next segment.
I voted on this.
Okay. As did I.
So when you look at it and you say the Red Sox have the seventh best record in the league, here is my question. A, are they better than we think they are? Or B, does everyone else just suck? Like, which one is it? It's got to be one of those two, right?
I voted that the rest of the league sucks.
Okay.
Yeah, as did I. I mean, there's been some wildly disappointing teams throughout Major League Baseball. The Cubs being, you know, a number
the
one.
The Twins are in first place in the Central.
Right. The Blue Jays have been underwhelming. The Orioles have been in a swoon here for a while. The Indians are even underwhelmed.
I mean, so you would think, right? You would think that with the Twins.
The Twins, who have the first pick in the draft tonight, are in first place in the Central.
I mean, it's really unbelievable. And I think the Red Sox are better than the Twins. So they're seventh by math, but the reality is they're probably higher than that. So you tell me, what's the reason? Because I know what my answer is. Obviously, I'll share that with you as well.
Everyone sucks.
617-779-0985. You know what? I want to squeeze in a call here quickly because there is someone in California. Is it Bardia in California on Rafael Devers?
Yeah, I just want to talk about Devers. I haven't seen him play in person, but everything that I've read and stuff says that he is a pretty good defender, but there are people that worry that he's, like, too big to play the position. He's not as big as, like, Sano from the Twins, but, like, I know Buster only posted this thing that, like, rival executives, like, think that once he gets to the big leagues, he'll hit, but, like, he might be too big to play third base in the big leagues.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Pablo Sandoval's too big in a different way to play third base. So, you know what? I'll take my chances. At least this guy might hit. I mean, it solves a little bit of your power problem, too, I think. And I don't know if he'll hit the ball out of the ballpark in the big leagues either, but he's got 10 home runs in the minor leagues.
Our own Matt McCarthy, who does headlines here, who you consistently confuse with many of the other guys that work headlines.
So yes, Sean Silver.
Sean Silver in particular.
He used to work for the Sea Dogs. He was in Saturday with Gasper and I, and I asked him, you know, can they bring him up sooner than later? Because I know that there was a piece in a Portland newspaper up there saying he's probably going to jump AAA. And having watched him and paid attention to him consistently, he said he's not polished and he would like to see him go to AAA first.
How disappointing. Well, let me tell you something. Pablo's in the big leagues, and he's not polished. So I'll take my chances. The thing is they have this kid at A-ball, Chavis, who was a high pick. They want to bump him to double-A, and when they do that, they get to move
Devers to triple-A. Up to the big club.
Right. So I would just – now, look, if it's triple-A with the idea that they would then move him up to the big leagues later in the year, I'm for it. Okay, whatever it is. But I think the plan should be Rafael Devers. I don't think the Red Sox should be trying to make a trade for a third baseman. To me, Devers is the play. That's the way they should go. And again, big picture question. You tell me, how do the Red Sox have the seventh best record in baseball? Not the American League. Baseball. Seventh best record. Are they better than we think they are, or does everyone else stink? Because I think it's B.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The pitch, swinging a high drive deep to left. Taylor racing to the track. He's to the wall, and that one's gone. Opposite field home run for Rafael Devers. Another two-strike home run. That's his sixth of the year.
Just felt we'd play that for you. You know, when this year started, I didn't think there was a chance of Rafael Devers making it to the big leagues. I didn't think there was a chance. Now I'm starting to wonder. Sandoval's just been so bad. And again, it sort of bubbled over on Friday night. A few balls hit to the left side. One in particular that was downright embarrassing. Victor Martinez, maybe the single slowest runner in baseball. Literally the slowest runner in baseball. And he beat out a dribbler towards third because Sandoval got there late, then was slow getting rid of it, and pulled Mitch Moreland off the bag. So the Red Sox weren't able to get an out. And clearly John Farrell had enough because Sandoval hasn't played since that game. Sat out Saturday against Verlander, sat out last night against a lefty, and is out of the lineup again tonight. Now the Red Sox are maintaining that, Farrell is maintaining that Sandoval is going to be back in there and that they'll work with him. But to me, it's reached the point now where you've got a guy making this kind of dough and you've got to work with him in season. You have to work with him on mobility and you know, again, range and all that. You got to work with him in the middle of the season while keeping him on the active roster. Cut him. Just release him. Bite the bullet. What's the point at this stage to keep going with Pablo Sandoval? You're better off playing Devin Marrero at third every day, and at least you get the plays. He would have made all three of those over the weekend. Sandoval, zippo, made none. Nick is in Boston on Rafael Devers. Hopefully has a scouting report for me. Go.
Hey, I'll try, Maz. Yeah, I was actually at the game, that Tigers game, and saw Sandoval make that play, and I was just like, oh. I leaned to my buddy. I was like, this is embarrassing. This guy's got to go. He's just too big to play the field. He's not athletic enough. But I've actually watched, I've been to a couple of the Portland games, and I've watched Devers warm up and everything. And he is big, like the other caller made a point about. He looks relatively smooth, though. One thing I noticed is he wasn't necessarily dead-on accurate on his throws, but he's got a big arm, and he's also got some power that we're missing this year. So, I mean, I'll take him at this point, but it's definitely going to be a little bit of a learning curve. That's my opinion, anyways.
Yeah, so, Nick, look, the power is another element that he could help with at least a little bit. It is early for him. There's no question about it. He's been in Double-A for 2 months. Okay, he's been there 2 months. Now, Benintendi wasn't there very long, and they bumped him up to Triple-A, and then he was in the big leagues before the end of last season. Maybe this kid's on a similar path. So they may not want to bring him up right now, and it does. Maybe that's why they're sort of dragging their feet on Sandoval, because they want to give Devers a little more time, and they want to give him a month, maybe two in AAA, and see how it goes there, at which point maybe they bring him up. This is now the second person that has said that this kid is big for the position, to which I say, I don't care if he's big. If he can move is all I care about, particularly now at 20 years old. He should have some agility. He should have some athleticism. Xander Bogaerts is big. Did you see the plays he made last night in the field? Right, I don't care where Bogaerts ends up in 5 years. All I care is that he can play shortstop now. And I would say the same thing for Devers. As long as he's not a butcher at third base, I would rather have him here sooner than later. I don't want the Red Sox trading away prospects for a third baseman. They got other needs on this team that they can fill. Jonathan is in Westford, wants to talk about Drew Pomeranz. Go.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
All right, Drew Pomeranz last night, he was just awful, as we all know, and he, again, as usual, is a hit-or-miss pitcher, literally. And just last night was probably one of the worst performances I have ever seen, not even the first half of the first inning, and he decides to just keep throwing balls, and then every time it goes down the middle, either a home run or a couple of runs batted in, and it's just, does it really show us the future of him and this franchise altogether?
Yeah, Jonathan, did you think he was something else after the last two starts? All right, I'm going to let you go because it looks like your phone's breaking up. Murray and Jimmy Stewart, let me ask you two guys. After Pomeranz had those good outings, there were a couple of good outings in a row. Did either of you take the cheese and think that he had turned some corner?
No. No, not at all.
Nope.
I was hoping that he would be more like that. But, I mean, he has shown you, especially last night, he is a bum's bum. And the only thing that guy should and is known for and should be known for and is he consistently cannot get past the fifth inning. Like, that's what you are going to get out of that guy every single effing time.
Jimmy?
Nope. He still sucks. He still should be coming out of the bullpen. And the fact that the idiot manager made him throw 123 pitches hurts his cause, not helps it.
Yeah, I see. I have no problem with the manager. Because what are you supposed to do when you have a starting pitcher who can't get past the fifth inning?
Like, put him in the bullpen.
Okay, but again, right now they're short, Jimmy. I mean, they're short. They just don't have enough bodies. Eduardo Rodriguez is out. Brian Johnson's already in for Eduardo Rodriguez. Like, who's the next man up? Henry Owens? I mean, they have nowhere to go.
Find a guy. That's their problem, not mine. Okay, get this guy out of the rotation.
Okay, so look, but at least in the short term, we can all understand why he's in the rotation, right? We can all understand that. But Tony in Providence, who called up and busted my balls twice when Pomeranz all of a sudden got in a little run. How come I haven't heard from you today, now that Pomeranz has reverted to form and completely stunk up the joint again last night? He has been with the Red Sox now for about 30 starts. Okay, 30 starts, or pretty damn close. And he has an ERA of 4.5. Are you still going to try to sell me this complete bag of fertilizing crap? That Drew Pomeranz is somehow a good starter? Does everyone still think that they paid a reasonable price for him and given up what was at the time the best pitching prospect? Is there anyone out there who even remotely thinks that? Huge mistake.
You see the Carrabas tweet today?
No, what was it?
Pomeranz is averaging 5 innings per start and 25 starts with the Red Sox. That's the lowest of any pitcher with at least 25 starts over that span.
No, good. That's good. So not only does he take the ball every 5 days, he also kills your bullpen every 5 days.
His lack of effort when the ball is in play continues, too. He was slow to get to first base early in that game last night. I don't know if you noticed. So it's not just the laboring and losing guys 0-2 time and time again. It's like he just doesn't give a damn.
Yeah, I think he's lazy, Murray. I do. I think he's lazy. And I don't, you know, listen, I don't throw this word around all the time. That guy's a dog. He's a dog. He's a bum. Okay? Drew Pomeranz is a bum because he has the ability to be good. See, those are the worst kind of guys. You know, he's got a terrific curveball. Great curveball. And he throws hard enough and he's left-handed. And look at the size on him. He's huge. And he's getting this out of his ability. This guy, I think he was like the number 6 pick in the draft. One of you guys check that, Jimmy Stewart, or whoever checked that. He was definitely a top 10 pick. I'm almost certain of it. You got size, ability, zero heart. Zero for Pomeranz. Robertson.
Number 5 overall.
Number 5 overall. Fabulous. He picked even higher than I thought. Robertson,
right,
a card. What do you got?
All right, Maz. Here's the real deal, okay? First of all, Sandoval, release him. Ramirez, release him. Dombrowski, if I could, I'd release him too. Pomeranz, he's got zero ability. He's got a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. His curveball had about as much bite as my grandmother when she forgets to put her teeth in. How would Travis Shaw look at third base right now?
Pretty good.
You got to get Dombrowski out of there. That guy's a fraud.
Okay, so, yeah. So, Robert, listen, the Dombrowski thing is part of this discussion too. Because even if you say, well, Dombrowski did not sign Pablo Sandoval and he didn't sign Hanley, and I disagree with you on Hanley, I'm keeping Hanley for now, only because you don't have guys who can hit home runs. You don't have guys who can hit balls out of the ballpark. You're going to give one away? So I'm keeping Hanley. I'm not yelling at you. You're entitled to dump him if you want. If you're running the team, you do what you want. But with Pablo, part of the mistake was signing him in the first place. The other part was that Dombrowski went into this year with no real fallback playing at third base. None. And don't give me Brock Holt, who should be a utility man. Okay, Brock Holt is a guy you can move around and play in spots, and you'll get good value out of him doing that. Once you start playing him every day, forget it. We've seen it too often here. So now, what was the backup plan at third base? And the answer is they didn't have one. And that's on Dombrowski.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.
which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, I can't say that it's not affecting him. To what extent, I don't know that. I do know that there's maintenance work that's done daily. There's been different remedies attempted to get him over the hump and feeling maybe a little bit more free consistently. But that's ongoing with Hanley.
And then there is this issue. Hanley Ramirez plodding along with a .250 batting average, 8 home runs. This is the cleanup hitter of the Red Sox. It's the best hitter on the team, really. When you really add it up, the most talented hitter on the team is Hanley Ramirez. It's not Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts can't hit the ball out to the opposite field like Hanley Ramirez can. Hanley has given the Red Sox very little this year. So now, look, this all goes back to that Ben Cherington offseason. Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval, and you can pin it all on Ben Cherington if you want. Maybe we were all stupid for thinking that there was any chance the Red Sox were going to get anything out of these guys. There was a lot of dead money on this team. Pablo Sandoval, we're not even counting Alan Craig, Ruzne Castillo. There's a ton of dead money on this team. Ton. Now Hanley's not hitting home runs. Do you realize the Red Sox have hit 58 home runs, the lowest total in the American League? And I'm sorry, I don't want to hear about National League totals. The National League numbers don't matter. They're irrelevant. The American League has a DH. You're playing against American League teams a large majority of the time. Stay in the American League. I don't care where they rank in the majors. They're dead last in the American League. Dead last. 58 home runs. And you want to know something scary? Where's the power going to come from in the system? Like, Devers is left-handed, and there's a chance there. But what great prospect do the Red Sox have down there that's going to hit pop? Finding power hitters is a hard thing. It's a very, very difficult thing. Unless, of course, you happen to be in the Bronx.
Swung on. There it goes deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Oh, what a shot. It went over the bullpen, over the grandstand, way back in the bleachers. Oh, what a home run. Aaron, your judge and jury. All rise. Here comes the judge. Another home run.
Okay, so all rise. Here comes the judge. I like.
That one's fun.
Yeah, that I like. Judge and jury sucks.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
There you go. Aaron Judge. 21 home runs now. He leads. Right now, he's a Triple Crown winner. Not only is he going to be Rookie of the Year, he might be MVP. He leads in batting average, home runs, and RBI. Aaron Judge. Second in OPS to only Mike Trout. So you really want to get negative? This kid's a rookie, and the Yankees have him. They have. What if this guy's Miguel Cabrera? You want to really crap your pants? What if this guy's Miguel Cabrera? What if he's that? What if he's a legit 325, 40, 120, and they've got him from the right side on top of it? Which is hard to find. Good right-handed power hitters, hard to find.
He hits to all fields, Tony.
Oh, boy,
hits
does he ever.
Hits to all fields.
That home run he hit over the weekend was measured at just under 500 feet.
Yeah, 495. Cleared the bleachers.
It was an absolute freaking smash. It was a smash. The Yankees have him. Now, there's a scary thought, right, that after all this rebuild, that they're now ahead of you and that they're going to stay there. Think about that one.
But, Tony, good news is Trey Ball is down at AA with a 5 ERA.
So Jimmy brings up Trey Ball because Trey Ball was the same draft as Aaron Judge. Judge went 31st, I think.
Sounds right.
He was at the end of the first round because the Yankees were picking
right
on the
Ball
bottom.
At 7.
Okay. Yep, the Red Sox had the 7th pick that year. So it must have been the 2013 draft because they finished last in 2012 with Bobby V and it got him Trey Ball. Judge was at the end of the first round. They have him. I have really bad news for you. The Yankees have him.
You know their run differential is plus, at least in those last three series against the Jays, the Red Sox, and the Orioles, their run differential was plus 59.
What are they for the year? Jared Carabas somewhere is like taking his clothes off hearing about these run differential numbers.
Oh, look it up.
He's going to butter himself thinking of these. Kyle's in Chelmsford. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yes, I haven't really heard too much of the possibilities, and I don't know if it's really that much of a chance, but Joe Kelly isn't exactly anything to speak about, but do you think maybe give him a start every once in a while and see if he even does half as good as Pomerantz? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, my short answer is no. Kelly's a bum, too. He's another one. I'm starting to think a lot of these guys are bums, and I know overall they've played okay lately. Again, seventh best record in the big leagues. But, look, I admit it. I'm taking the losses hard. Like, the Yankee series, they won the first one, lost the last two. The Detroit series, they win the first two and then lose the last one. And honestly, I didn't think they looked great in the game on Friday night, the Red Sox. But nonetheless. So this past week irritated me a little. It was a week where I was expecting a little bit more from them, and they went 3-3. Now you get Philadelphia in here. Porcello goes tonight. He's been relatively garbage this year. Let's see how that goes.
It's the Yankees, by the way, plus 115 on the year. The next closest team is the Houston Astros at plus 98.
So the Yankees actually have a better run differential than Houston.
That is correct.
I wonder when Carrabas is going to point this out on Barstool. It would be nice if Carrabas could do that. He's a big run differential guy and likes to tell me it's a good measure of a team's potency, right?
Just real quick, so, you know, you've talked about the importance of some of these series, specifically the one going against New York. It's kind of a crap Philadelphia team that's coming in here. How important is this home and home, considering the Yankees just murdered the Orioles? And if they even split here and the Yankees keep winning, I mean, they really got to maybe start looking at themselves and figure out what the hell they're going to do with the rest of the season, or whether they're going to sell parts, because they could be too far behind at that point.
Okay, so you got to win a minimum of three. Minimum of three, including both of the games at home. So it's Porcello and Price in the two games,
correct?
Right? And tomorrow ought to be good. David Price in his first game at Fenway after his little eruption last week. Let's see how the fans feel about Price tomorrow night. We were talking about pace of play earlier in the day. Rob is in Holland, wants to hit on the same subject. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, Tony, I'm a huge fan of you guys' show earlier in the day, and I've been listening to you guys complain about, you know, and I'm right on par with you guys as far as how long these games are lasting. My question and a point is, when was the last time you've gone to a softball game for the question? And my point is...
Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Go. Sorry.
My point is that I've run a bunch of teams in softball, and we have a two-foul ball limit for every at-bat. I was just questioning why they haven't even thought about that instead of trying to come up with a new strike zone or whatever the case may be. Think of what that would do to adding stress to the pitcher, adding stress to the batter, that they only have two foul balls. Because I watched the game last weekend. I can't stand watching. I'm right along Felger with this. I can't stand watching anything but football more than 2.5 hours.
Okay.
I can't do it.
Yeah, so Rob, just one quick stupid question. Are you in a fast pitch or slow pitch softball league?
We're in a slow pitch.
Okay, stop there. Stop there. Stop there. That's what I was going to guess. In slow pitch softball, if you can't put the ball in a fair territory, you smell. You smell. I mean, that's really bad. That's like swinging and missing, for crying out loud. So two foul balls, you should be out. In Major League Baseball, where they're throwing 95 miles an hour, we're really going to penalize guys for foul balls. You don't need to go that far. You don't need to be that ridiculous. And again, it sounds like I'm picking on you. I'm telling you, there's very simple modifications to the game that you can make that will keep the pace of play in check. Like, the pitcher doesn't walk around the mound. He gets the ball, he gets back on the mound, and he pitches. Go to a good youth baseball game or a high school game, okay? College game. Go to one of those, a good one now, not ones where kids can't throw strikes. And watch the pitchers. Watch how quickly they deliver the ball. This is a pro thing. It's a pro thing. These guys all got, you know, for relative, figuratively speaking, fat and lazy. That's what it is. Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I called about Pomerantz, and I want to get that in, but real quickly on Hanley. I think the fundamental issue with Hanley is the only guy that can motivate.
Mike, I'm going to put you on hold because the connection is absolutely god-awful, and I can't out and make out anything you said. So I'll try again in a minute. Billy's in Waltham. Billy, what do you got?
Hey, I'm just glad you finally seeing the light on Devers. I called a few weeks ago, and I said something along the lines of they need to call him up.
Did I poke fun at you?
You did. You said it was silly. It was stupid. They were going to have to wait till next year, see what you can get out of Sandoval. I'm like, no. I'm like, we're not going to get anything out of that bag of panda poo. You just, it's not even worth it. You know what I mean?
So, Billy, if I did say that it's silly and it's stupid, I apologize for that, okay, because clearly we've ended up there. I suspect what I really said was that I'd be surprised if they did it this early, but I'm now starting to wonder, so kudos to you. You were ahead of the curve.
And I also want to say the pitch clock's going to save the game. Like, so, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, so look, I'm sorry, I dropped him. The pitch clock's a big one, too. We made this point earlier in the day. It's not just about the 20 seconds. There was that story earlier in the year that every second a pitcher takes between pitches increases his velocity a little. And when I say a little, we're literally talking about a tenth of a mile per hour. But nonetheless, that over the course of the year, that can add up and lead to an extra win or two in the standings. And so if that is true, that more rest gives you better velocity, then the opposite is true. Which means if you shorten the rest, the velocity won't be as good. It might not go down, but it's certainly not going to go up. And less velocity probably means more balls in play, more offense, more action. So look, it's a start at the very least. How we have gotten to this point without a pitch clock to me is beyond my mind. And I mean in the big leagues. You should absolutely have a pitch clock already. Let's try Mike again in the car. Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tony. Can you hear me?
Better.
Okay, thanks. Rick, real quick on Hanley. I think the only guy that can motivate that guy was David Ortiz, and he's gone. Something about Ortiz in his last season, he had a hold of Hanley, and he kept him motivated game in and game out. But I wanted to talk about Pomerantz real quick. To me, there's two fundamental issues, and you got the first one right. The guy's not a gamer. He has no compete level at all for the bigs, and that's never going to change. But the other issue is he has no out pitch. If the curveball's not working, look at last night. I think he went against 9 right-handed hitters in that Detroit lineup. He goes deep on every player, but he's got no pitch where he can get anybody out. That's my point.
Okay, so, Mike, look, there's a big hole there in his repertoire, right? And that is the absence of a, you know, I would describe as a pitch that will dart away from a right-handed batter. So it could be a split, could be a change. You want to say a two-seam fastball even if he can run it away. Fine. Something that he can throw with consistency that moves to the outside part of the plate so that right-handed hitters have to respect both sides of the plate. Against Pomeranz, they really don't. That said, historically, and I haven't looked at the numbers this year, Pomeranz is actually better against right-handed batters. And there's a reason. Guys with a big curveball like that oftentimes are more effective against righties who tend to give up on the pitch. It's often harder to recognize that pitch as a right-handed batter than a lefty. When you're a lefty and you see that big curveball coming at you and it starts out at your head, you know right away, it's not coming at my head. That's coming back. As a righty, sometimes you just give up because you say, well, that's going to miss no matter what, and then it breaks back over the plate. Okay, for some reason, something about that angle, and I remember asking this question years ago about Barry Zito. Righties give up on it, lefties don't. So something just about the line of sight, the vantage point with a guy with a big curveball like that who's left-handed, that the lefty hitter sees it better than the righty does. I can't explain why. I can just tell you that's the reality. Now, look, I have not seen Pomeranz's numbers this year. They might be ass backwards. But your general point is accurate. He needs a changeup. He needs a split, two-seam fastball, something that he can throw to the first base side of the plate and get a right-hander to respect him on that side, because I don't think he does that. And I think that that's where his core problem is. That and the fact that, as you said, he has no compete because deep down he's a bum. But, again, to just my two cents.
Baseball reporters.